Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And today on the show, we're talking about the Wellington market. We are here live at the Ridges Hotel with our live studio audience. Give us a yell! Oh, you are all far too kind. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate you guys coming along. And this will be released tomorrow for all of Auckland to hear as well. Now, in today's show, we are talking about how the Wellington market is doing. And we're going to go through some of my favourite data and analysis for you all today. So, let me show you this graph. It's the same graph I showed all of Canterbury yesterday. And what it shows is how the Wellington median house price is going compared to where it has historically over the last 27 years compared to the New Zealand median house price. Now, this is really important because it can help us understand where a market is within its property cycle. And can we expect to have some catch-up growth or really, really fast increases in the median house price within any region? Now, we do have this data for all 16 regions around New Zealand available on the website. So feel free to take photos, but you'll also be able to get it online as well. So don't feel too bad about if you miss that. Now, over the last 27 years, the Wellington median house price has been 104.5% of the New Zealand median house price. What does that mean? It means that if the New Zealand median house price was $500,000, we'd expect Wellington's median house price to be 1.045 times that. So it's a useful indication to know, where are we a bit above that? Are we a bit below that? And what does it mean about where Wellington is within its cycle? So when the median house price is above that long-term average, it suggests that there are potentially buying opportunities in other regions. Perhaps we should look for regions that are undervalued compared to that long-term average, because the hypothesis here is that we would expect a region's median house price to return to that long-term average, in this case, 104.5%. Of course, when it is under that long-term average, that is a great time to buy. And you can see from this graph here, back in Wellington about 5 years ago, boy, it was a great time to buy. And all of you homeowners out there definitely will know that and will have experienced that. And I see some happy homeowners over there who have done very well in the Wellington region over the last 5 years. And look, this trend is still continuing, and the market is going gangbusters in Wellington. So when it's above the line, it's overvalued. When it's under the line, it's an indication that it may be undervalued, and we may experience some of that catch-up growth, which is going to allow us to get a lot of equity within our investment properties very, very quickly. So let's talk about where Wellington is within this cycle right now, and how overvalued is the Wellington market? Because all of you people who are listening to this and aren't here in the live studio audience tonight won't be able to see that Wellington is just above its long-term average, a little bit above that long-term average. So as we said, the average has been 104.5%. Right now, it's sitting at 107.3%, which is about 2.7% above that long-term average. So nothing to really be too worried about. But let's quantify this some more. What does it look like in terms of numbers? About 19 grand. Now, don't get too worried about this. I'm not for a minute suggesting that we're going to see wholesale decreases in the Wellington market. Not at all. What I'm simply suggesting is that we are probably going to see Wellington increase at the same rate as everywhere else in New Zealand, and some other regions may see some of that catch-up growth, which you guys have already had over the last 5 years. So you guys have already had that. That's the benefit. The good news is you can now do something about that. So again, does that mean house prices are going to fall here? No, it doesn't. Not at all. What it means is that, again, it's probably going to increase at the same rate as everywhere else in New Zealand, as that median house price, because you guys have had some extraordinary growth over the last 5 years. So over the long term, we expect that you guys will have that same growth as everywhere else. Over the medium term, it does mean there will be other areas, or there are likely to be areas that are going to increase in value at a faster rate than Wellington and the rest of the New Zealand economy. You want anything to add in here yet, Andrew, before I keep rabbiting on?
There you go, and I'll give my 2 cents at the end.
Fantastic. So you guys here sitting in the audience, any homeowners, if you've got the median house in Wellington, you've seen about $341,000 in growth of your property over the last 5 years, since about July 2016, January 2016. Amazing. It's a beautiful thing. It means that you guys have all got the ability to go and do something with it, and you're in a much better financial position than you were 5 years ago. Let's look at what that looks like over the last 27 years, because this is from when the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand started collecting data, which was January 1992, is when they started collecting what the median house price in Wellington was. And what you've seen over the last 27 years was 6.4% compounding annual growth. Over the last five, you've seen 14% annual growth. Give it a hand for that. That's a beautiful thing. That's a wonderful thing for any of you homeowners.
It's like
out there.
A Seinfeld episode now.
But remember as well that there was a period of about 8 years where we had very low growth in Wellington, a sad time for us all, where over those 8 years, you had 0.65% compounding annual growth between 2008 and 2020. So I don't think we'll necessarily see this, certainly over the next, in the short term in Wellington, because there are so many macroeconomic factors that are heating the housing market. But certainly, I don't think we'll continue to have such rapid housing growth like we have experienced over the last 5 years. Reason behind that is that a lot of what we've seen has been this catch-up growth. So you can see from the graphs on the screen, about 5 years ago, from about July 2015, that's when you guys were the most undervalued. That was about 15% undervalued, and then we've had experienced some catch-up growth because you guys had a price competitive advantage. We started to see the housing market rise because of that.
Okay, I'm getting restless now, so I'm going to jump in there, Ed. So I think one of the interesting things about when you look at property over a long term, it always goes up in value and at pretty consistent rates. And so the misconception when you look at a growth rate like the one above, where you look at, say, 15 years, you might get, say, a 6% growth. But the challenge is, if you're looking to invest and you're wanting to repeat that process time and time again, you need to be looking for spots where there are opportunities for growth in the short term. And that's where you look for a market which is undervalued. Now, that can be a bit challenging. And I remember during that 8 year flat patch, working with investors in Wellington who were frustrated by the amount of growth that other places were getting, and it was reaching the newspapers here, and their market was flat. And so that was probably when I started working with a lot of Wellingtonians to use their usable equity to invest elsewhere. And it's really great if you can separate yourself from the emotion of buying in your location, and you always look at somewhere where it's based on its, you know, the fundamentals. Is it going to go up in value in the short term? Is it going to help me to repeat that process? Is it going to pay for itself or thereabouts? And there are parts of New Zealand, like Auckland, for example, where historically it's really hard to get into if you're anywhere outside of Auckland because it costs so much. And so you need a lot of usable equity, and the contributions are usually relatively high. And of course, they got even worse when ring fencing came in, and all of a sudden your contribution of $300 a week went up to $500 a week. And that was pretty typical of an investment where you're borrowing 100% in Auckland. Now, the great news at the moment is interest rates are plummeting, and they're going to get even lower. So 1.99% with Heartland Bank at the moment through their online system, other banks about 2.5%. And if you can get somewhere in the middle, awesome. And they're going to go lower. And so Ed and I this week have been working on a model, and we're going to make it even more sophisticated, where we work out, hey, if you're buying in Christchurch, Wellington, Auckland, Hamilton, Tauranga, Queenstown, maybe, watch the space. Is there an opportunity to use the low interest rates to build up enough of a buffer so that when they do go up to 5, 6, 7% again, you've got enough money in the bank that it still can pay for itself? And if you can get through that 10-year window, you'll make money. The other points I wanted to raise is that Wellington is still going to have a bit of pressure because of the stock issue. There is just not enough houses available for people. And Joy and Manuel have got their daughter here tonight, other fans and stars of our show, and they cannot find a first home. And it's a real challenge. And they've got a very reasonable budget. And so the challenge for young people now is, do we wait a little bit longer to see if something comes out? But if the market goes up another 50 grand, then we need at least another $10,000 worth of savings to get there, just to keep up with the market. I think that because we've got a Labour government now for another term at least, we are going to see more rate drops. And that's awesome for investors, because your largest cost if you're borrowing money is always going to be your interest. And so if you can keep that cost down as low as possible and buy something for the long term, awesome. And actually, just a calculation that I did while Ed was talking, in case any of you thought I was just checking my emails. $341,000 worth of growth in the last 5 years for the median house value at 80% based on the bank value, that's $272,800 worth of usable equity. Now, if you convert that to purchasing power at 80% for more properties, that's almost $1.4 million. You can now buy a property in Christchurch and Auckland and Wellington. That's awesome. So to use that money that you've had for free and repeat that process and make more.
And there's one other thing that I want to talk about that's special about the Wellington market. Of course, you guys are going to benefit and have the same kind of increases as everywhere else in New Zealand because of the low interest rates, the increase in first-time buyer activity. And during the lockdown, a lot of you had accumulated a decent amount of savings, which are now being redeployed into the property market. The other good news about having a Labor the other good news about having a Labor government is that we are expecting to see an expansion of government. We are expecting to see not necessarily ministries, but certainly government offices opening in Wellington. And that's going to be really positive for jobs down here. And it probably is going to mean a little bit more money flowing around in the central city. That's probably going to translate into housing demand. And so that's a really positive news story for the Wellington market as well, certainly at least for the next 3 years.
Having said that, one of the challenges, as you all know, in Wellington is that there's no land available. You're so landlocked. And so you have to build up. And so just this afternoon, Ollie, our GM, and I have been meeting with people just to talk about what kind of apartment complexes are coming onto the market in the next wee while and going to be available. And you do get less bang for buck now, but that's just the way that we're going to live in the future. One of my investors has bought a new owner-occupied property. I don't know if they're here tonight, but I met with them today. And you're spending over $1 million for a one-bedroom apartment in Wellington now. It's insane.
And the last thing I was going to say as well is that because you've had such good catch-up growth as well, perhaps that's where you might look to diversify out of Wellington, because there is such a stock issue at the moment, because it is very difficult to find attractively priced investment properties, even though the yields are quite good down here. That's where you might want to look at a bit further afield as well to find some of those areas that are relatively more undervalued compared to that long term. Hey, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. Really helps us get the message out to more people. And if you want to learn more about property with Andrew and I, and you're based in Auckland, why don't you come along to our live event, which is tonight in down in Wynyard Quarter, starting at 6 p.m. We're going to kick the event off, drinks from 5:30 p.m. Wellington, how did you enjoy those drinks? They like them. If you're in Auckland, come along tomorrow night down Wynyard Quarter.
Tonight. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Nicholl.
And I'm Ed McKnight. And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.